Welcome to the Nexus Podcast. The word Nexus means a connected group. And when it comes to church leadership, we're better together. No one should have to choose between developing themselves and developing their church. The Nexus Podcast by Christ Fellowship is all about having real conversations that equip and resource you to grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church. So let's lean in.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Nexus Podcast. I'm James Duvall, and today we have Ian Achung and Erica Paul on the show. Ian is part of our senior management team and the director of creative services, and Erica is a creative on our creative services team. Culture has a large impact on creativity as our environments that we live and learn in shape our thinking and inspiration. For our conversation today, we're going to jump into the conversation about our creative abilities and releasing creativity in the church. We're also going to change things up a bit today and have Aubrey Puyol, who is usually behind the scenes, get behind the microphone and host the conversation. So let's get started.
Well, Ian, Erica, I am so glad to have this conversation and have you guys here today. I know I've worked with you guys before and you both inspire my creativity. So I'm so excited to sit down and just kind of talk creativity in the church and what that looks like. So to start, I would love for you guys to tell us your role within Christ Fellowship and how you kind of came to ministry, because I know you both just didn't start where you are now. So I'd love to hear a little bit of your stories.
Well, my name's Erica. I'm the creative leader here at the church. So I help with a lot of conceptualization and ideation for weekends and events. I've been attending Christ Fellowship for 21 years, which is crazy because I'm 20 years old. So still figuring out the math for that. And I grew up here at the church, and I really started my journey in creativity when I was a high school student here at church, and have just been kind of growing here ever since under the leadership of a few people, but more recently Ian for the past, I think, eight years now, which is kind of bananas. So it has been a wild ride, and I'll be on staff for 9 years this fall.
Well, thank you, Aubrey, for having us. My name is Ian, and I'm the Director of Creative Services here at Christ Fellowship. I've been here already for almost 10 years, and I started at Christ Fellowship in the films department as an associate director, and been moving around different areas of leadership into then leading the team and then the communications team, and how everything then merged to what is known today as creative services, where we basically look after everything that is film, design, print. So how we have it split up, we have a weekend and events team that looks after everything that happens on the weekend and our events. This area has producers, editors, graphic designers, and project managers that serve that specific area of the church. Then we have a ministry team that serve all of our students, young adults, kids areas, kind of our next generation. Then we have an area we call the central team that serves everything else that the church gets to do as a ministry. We talk a lot about creativity, but we also, I always tell people, we make everything from bathroom signs to billboards. So we have to provide a lot of collateral and assets for different ministries and areas of the church. And then we have our fourth area, which is our delivery team that specializes in figuring out that what we make can play at a high level anywhere that it's supposed to play, and that things make it to where they need to go. We have also our print department that they support everyone and our merchandising, but that those areas sit in the central team. And I would say as a total, we are around 30 people on staff right now, just looking after all those areas of the church. Yeah, we get to have fun and use our creative muscles every single day.
Literally every single day, you guys go from event to event to weekends always happen. So it's super awesome to just have this conversation together. And that leads me into the next question of, because you guys are always creating, you're always thinking of something new, you're always really expanding what we can do creatively as a church, I would love to know where your passion for creativity started. Where did it come from?
So I grew up a pretty plucky kid that read a lot of books. I don't think I ever would have imagined myself in any sort of creative anything. I really thought I was going to be like a journalist or like a marine biologist until I found out I was scared of everything in the water. That was not going to work out for me.
But you are scuba.
I am scuba certified now, but back then I was barely snorkel ready. So I think it kind of hit me in high school that was not going to work out for me. And I took a film studies class at my high school and liked it. And then went to Palm Beach Atlantic University for film, which that's a whole nother Jonah story. I thought I was running away from one calling in my life, but I actually ended up right in my sweet spot, just never would have planned it for myself. And kind of journeyed through film, started working here, was the creative here. And I don't think I really realized my full potential or the possibility really of my full potential till 2016, when I went to my first Coldplay concert. Big Coldplay gal. I traveled out of state my first solo trip, went and saw the concert, and remember leaving just so emotionally, just empowered from the event. Yeah. I'd never seen anything like it before, where all the elements came together just to create a beautiful show. And just the atmosphere of the people there was so spirit lifting. You just left feeling so good. And I just had never seen anything like that before and wanted to pursue that. So came back home, started doing random little projects on the weekend in our then studio. And Ian called me into his office one day a couple weeks later, and I thought I was in trouble for using the studio because I didn't ask permission. I was just around during the weekends. And he's like, you know, I'm actually going to kind of steer you in a different direction because I see something in you that's starting to develop. And I think if we adjust your course now, you could end up right where you should be. And so I became a creative films producer and started with the idea of conceptualizing, ideating, things like that, and have really just been on a pursuit of growing and learning and understanding since. I've really taken on the model, nothing to prove, everything to learn, and I've just really been pursuing how to grow. And I've become more and more passionate with every day. I wake up with a new passion for it. So that's kind of where I started.
So, that's so interesting because I thought with just how creative you are that this was something you, as a kid, you always knew this is what you're going to be doing. And it actually, Coldplay, who knew?
Oh, man.
Coldplay.
I love me some Coldplay. Changed my life.
Ian, what about you?
Well, for me, I mean, I have to say that I model a lot of the things that I do from my parents, my dad. I grew up in a very creative home. My dad's a musician in our church in Venezuela. That's where I was born, in Caracas. I mean, we used to have a band that used to tour around the country. Wow. And that's what I grew up with. When I was 5 years old, I started piano lessons because I wanted to be like my dad. And so I will go to lessons. I will try to play everywhere I could. He will buy me things to be creative. I remember I used to build this Lego stages and use Christmas lights to to decorate and build my setups. And that's all awesome. Of that's just from a young age. And then I discovered the drums when I was 13. And I just, in every opportunity I had, I got into acting. I mean, I just wanted to express all the things that God put in my heart. I was actually a dancer for a while.
I was going to say, wow. I think there was a dancing season of either.
No, if you're listening to this outside of Florida, if you come on Christmas, you might see me on stage. But it was just always in my blood. And then my sister started going to film school, and I started making movies with her. Mm-hmm. I was learning computer science and all these different things and creating at the same time. And just my life went into that direction. And wow. I can't remember any year of my existence that I have not had the opportunity to be creative in something that I do.
Wow. Yeah. So how do you constantly get your inspiration then? If you've never had a season not being creative, where does your inspiration tend to come from, and how do you foster that?
That's a great question, Aubrey.
That was so good, Aubrey.
I mean, for me, inspiration is just, honestly, I get inspiration from everything. And it's one of those things, since I've been involved in this so much, and some of you that might be listening to this podcast, you've probably read that book, Steal Like an Artist. That book is not allowed in my ministry, in my house, because
it's true, he threw it out. I tried bringing it in one day. It's not a fun time.
we serve a God that the first thing he did was create, and we're going to try our best to create. So I'm always learning. I'm always looking for something new. always try to surround myself with people that have done things different or do things differently than the way I do it. There's something that I do every Easter and Christmas. You know, some people like to read the Christmas story of all of that, but I watch on Christmas Day, I go online and watch these seven churches every year for Christmas and Easter.
Wow.
And it's always Passion City Church, Hillsong, Central in Vegas, Church by the Glades, Saddleback Church, and Church on the Move, and Crossroads. And every Christmas and Easter, I watch what they do, not because I'm trying to look for something for us to copy or do like they did, which is nothing wrong with that, but I just want to not center myself so much in the things that I created or that we created as a team here and expand, exercise my creative muscles and anything on YouTube and social media. But the ultimate thing where I get inspiration, I have to say, is a company that I love. It's called Moment Factory.
The best.
To me, every time I go on their website or see any of their productions, they always bring new inspiration and ideas.
That's great. They challenge me,
so it's good.
Wow.
How about you, Erica? Where do you get your inspiration?
Yeah, I'm a hidden 4 on the Enneagram. I test as a 6 on the Enneagram, but I'm really a 4 and very much a feeler. And so I really listen to stories around me, stories of people. Because a lot of what we do is storytelling, figuring out how to tell stories, how to connect with stories of people that are going to be in the congregation at our events and things like that. So the best way to understand the stories of people that are going to be there is to listen to stories of people that are going to be in the room. So I like collecting stories. I love live experience. I'm never not planning to go to a concert or something in Florida. We have something called the Kravis Center that for performing arts. They do shows. They have Broadway will come through and do a run of a show. I'm always have a ticket to something coming up because those things are just so inspiring. And I love seeing what elements of a show engage an audience and why they were engaged, how they built up to a moment to obtain engagement, how they built trust with an audience to take audience on a journey. It's one thing I love about Coldplay concerts is that it's not just a bunch of songs. They really take you on a journey through something. And I love seeing the process of how different artists or stories kind of take people through in that way. I also love a big film TV girl. Obviously, I'm in film and I love taking scenes of things that personally strike me or make me feel a certain emotion. I love taking it and breaking it down and unpiecing it, repiecing it together to understand why something made me feel a certain way. Because again, we're trying to reach people or make people feel something, but you have to almost understand the science behind a feeling when it comes to such a technical art. So I love breaking things down, understanding how people get there. Recently, I've watched a ton of like costume breakdowns for different film and TV shows, like why they made the choices they did to make a certain era, how they made the fabrics, things like that. I just love. And when I think about that's for me as a creative, but then I have a ton of friends who are not creative. And I think creativity at the base of it is just problem solving. And you could be the most Excel sheet expert, like mathematician type person and still problem solve. It's really just finding new ways to figure out an answer to something. And those tools help me be better equipped to understand different ways to unpack a problem and solve it.
That's really great.
Yeah.
And I love that neither of you find inspiration from the same places. Like, I think that's the really cool part of being in the creative world and being creative, because you guys aren't the same. You find your inspiration from different people, different websites, different churches, different concerts. And I think that's so unique. And I would love to take that and kind of turn the corner to leading creative teams, because you don't come in with the same inspiration. You come in with different inspiration and collaborate and bring that together.
Yeah.
So how do you lead your creative teams? Because some of those people on the teams are super creative and some are more tactical, logistical mindset. So how do you lead both creative and not so creative?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing I will say is that I think sometimes when we hear the word creatives, we get kind of freaked out about the creatives. And the first thing I'll say is creatives are people too.
Yeah.
You know, there's just like anyone else, they want to express themselves. And we do have so many types of creatives. Creatives are so attached to their ideas, or we have the quiet ones, the introverted ones, and the loud ones that tend to be so loud that they drown the voices of others, or the insecure ones, the super confident ones, the technical ones, the super organized ones. That was you, Aubrey. But I think the secret is that all creatives or not creatives in our teams, there's five things that they need from that leader and as we're leading them. And the first one is anyone pretty much, but creatives specifically, they need intentional community. The second thing that we need, that creatives and non-creatives need from their leaders, is they need honest and inclusive communication. The third thing that we need to provide for people is that we need opportunities for growth. And one of my favorite ones, and probably one of the most important ones, is intentional care. We have to be able to care for people. We celebrate them. We use the right words. And we have to provide a space to fail.
Yeah.
We have to help our people understand artistic ownership versus artistic direction. And
that's
one
great day
I will explain that more. But and we have to trust them. We have to trust them with projects and with our words. One of the things that we really exercise in creative services is we hire culture first and skill second. It's very important that people that come into our teams are able to be part of the culture.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing that someone told me years ago as I was growing in my career is that, you know what? Don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
You know, don't take yourself too seriously. Have fun. Yeah. And just lead your people the way you want to be led.
That's great. So why is it important to grow and cultivate creativity in our churches? And how do we evolve our churches in more creative ways?
Yeah. Can I share a story, actually? I think I actually thought of it when I saw that we were going to talk through this. I was at a conference recently, and they had a Compassion International, which is an organization where you sponsor children, you help with needs and things. And I've seen so many commercials, ads for things, just personally had not felt compelled to sponsor a kid. Couldn't tell you why, I just never did. And they played this video where basically it went back and forth between a set of a couple that was sponsoring a child in Africa, and the child in Africa is an adult saying she wishes she would meet the parents one day. She finishes her thank you and is like, I just want to say thank you guys so much. I hope to meet you someday. And off in the distance, off mic, you hear them say, how about today? And she starts sobbing. And I immediately pulled out my phone to sponsor a kid right away.
I have chills.
And it was just so, the power of story is so important. And I think that I think about that as an organization trying to get people to sponsor a kid. Ian says it all the time. We have the best story, the story of Jesus that we're trying to, you know, get people on board with, to understand, to grasp, to understand the power of that in their lives. And so I think a big part of creativity, why it's important, is it brings people in and includes people in the story that they might not understand, but they begin to see their part in it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, cultivating creativity and how to evolve in the church is simple. I mean, creativity is a form of worship. You know, every word that we write, every frame we capture, every splash of color on a design is a celebration of our Creator.
Wow.
You know, it's our worship and it's really our offering back to Him. And the church for so many years was a source of creativity and art and so many expressions that we see today. And why should it stop with us, right? And we live in the most unique time in history that you can create a piece of art with your cell phone.
Yeah.
So I think, how do you evolve your church to become more creative? I think you just need to start.
Yeah.
And you need to start because there's something that God put that is unique on you as a leader and as a church. And you need to start expressing what that is in any way possible. And creativity is not successful because of the resources or the size of staff. It's really when it's true, when it's honest, and when it's heartfelt. And that's how we can evolve our churches. We are, like Erica mentioned, we are sharing the best, the most important story ever told.
Yeah.
Sometimes we share it like we don't even believe it ourselves.
Yeah.
So how do we bring that passion, that heart behind what we are doing, as simple as it might be? And that's how we will evolve creativity in our churches. Yeah.
That's great.
Amazing.
That's great. Thinking back to how you're saying you could even just be creative with just your cell phone. So how do you use the trends that are evolving in our world and our culture today, especially the trends that you're seeing in your industry? How do you use those to produce creative moments and to translate that to our churches, to your ministry?
Yeah. Ian always says that good is timeless. If you think about movies that have notoriety, those things were made, movies are made in like the 80s, 90s that are still relevant today. They were just good. They weren't necessarily following a specific trend or anything. So I'm under the belief that good is timeless. You make good quality content regardless of a trend around you. Wow. It'll sustain the test of time. And I'm not going to pretend that like that's my idea. It is Ian's idea. There's a little trademark appearing next to my head as I'm saying it out loud. I just want to make it clear that this is his genius statement.
Good is timeless.
Good is timeless. For me, practically, and this is a little bit of a nerd out, I am very big into futurism, which basically it's an art of looking ahead at world trends, cultural trends, and things like that for a year. It anticipates people's needs based on the direction that the, you know, the environment seems to be heading in, and provides information for you to decipher it for whatever context that you're in. So I read a report at the beginning of the year that kind of predicts trends throughout the year. It's simple things like, oh, people are going to be really into taking baths at home this year because of this, and that. People are going to be into this because of this, and that. And for me, it's like, it may seem really irrelevant that people are going to take more baths. But for me, if I'm in a sisterhood, which is our women's collective here at the church, I can say, hey, for merch, we might want to do like a sisterhood bath bomb this year. It plays out in little things like that. Wow. That's a very small example.
That's great, though.
But I do keep up with trend reports throughout the year from futurist organizations that kind of talk about forecasting for the year and how to anticipate some needs of people here, how it affects the world, and those kinds of things. But I think keeping just a temperature on the world at large, which can be really, really exhausting sometimes, but understanding how those things have ripple effects into what we create and produce, sensitivities for us to stay, things to say, things to stay away from, things like that, are super important for me practically, which is, again, a giant nerd out. But I
you said that. Something very good, that there's a difference between being trendy,
yeah,
and then being sensitive.
Yeah,
you know, 100%. So we as creatives have to be sensitive to what's happening in the world.
100%.
But when we deviate and try to start trends,
yeah,
I think that's when we sometimes get to miss the mark. Mm-hmm. And we are very sensitive to things like when we do special moments, like we had a series not long ago when we're talking about TikTok and different things. And So, of course, we assimilate some of those trends that are in culture right now because we're trying to make a point with them. And I think that's where the sensitivity comes in, of seeing where the world is at so we can speak their language at times. But yeah, I think quality remains, trends come and go.
Yeah.
Now I understand why I bought all those bath bombs last year.
Oh my gosh.
For Carmen, she has a bath full of bath bombs.
It was a trend.
Oh my gosh.
Well, as we wrap up today, there's so many things that we can take away from this, and I'm going to put all the resources in the show notes for sure. But I would love to know, what's one thing that you're looking forward to seeing in the future for our creative services at Christ Fellowship?
Films University. I saw it on your paper, so I had to say it. No. You elaborate on it. I just feel like I'm so energized by the idea of having a film school here at the church through our partnership with the university that we have here at our campus, or whatever means. We're building curriculum and stuff as it is now to possibly repurpose for a curriculum in a film school at some point. So I think for both of us, that's just like a really exciting concept.
Yeah, Films University is a thing I think has been in our heart for a while, that we've been blessed to be at a church that believes so much in what we do and in using the arts and creativity to expand the kingdom and to reach people. And I think there's an opportunity for us to start investing in that next generation of filmmakers.
Yeah.
And there's so many stories to tell that we want to be able to tell in different mediums and formats. And I think that what the church is capable of doing, we're not even scratching the surface.
Oh,
and
no.
That's what we want to do. And we just want to equip people so we can reach people.
Yeah.
Right. Films University, you guys heard it here first on the podcast, and we'll keep you updated for next year.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, Ian and Erica, it truly has been such a privilege for me to just sit down and have this conversation, because I know you guys and I work with you guys, but to just personally hear a little bit more of your passion and your inspiration for creativity and what you see the future of Christ Fellowship molding into, I think that is such an honor to be in the seat and have this conversation. So thank you so much for being on the Nexus Podcast.
Thank you,
thanks, Bob.
Thanks for listening to the Nexus Podcast. For additional resources and show notes from today's episode, check out our website, nexusplatform.com. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a comment below. We hope these conversations left you feeling equipped and resourced as you grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church.